This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Special thanks to Mike Clemens from Civic Media joining us to talk about last night's game. Gary Gresh, St. Norbert men's basketball. Huge game tonight. Taking on the fifth-ranked team in the nation for the Nicolet Holiday Tournament out at St. Norbert. That's fantastic. Cody Krepline, veteran salute, courtesy of Olson Legal Group and his Sloppy Hog Barbecue. Literally, Heather, have you ever had somebody just... And maybe it's just me. Maybe I've got an infliction for food or something like that. But where people just talk about food, you literally, you're
salivate.
Yeah, your teeth get like tender or something.
Yeah.
And you just, kind of get like that.
Well, in brisket too, he was talking about that delicious brisket. Ooh, I love a good brisket.
Does that sound phenomenal?
And even
mm-hmm. when the creamy coleslaw and the mac and cheese, you just, man, that sounds good.
Yeah, good stuff.
Wow.
Go support him.
And of course, Brittany Merlot, who somebody texts us, did you forget to ask Brittany the forecast?
Yeah,
which is, I thought,
much, yeah.
why she
pretty
comes
much.
On
she
the show.
She's going to get cold.
Well, she went off in these other directions.
Oh, yeah, she sure did.
Hard to keep her focused.
I know. This round light where you get your picture taken.
Yeah,
wow.
Just on and everything
on.
Like that.
They had never heard of a circle light or whatever they call those things.
I don't know what they're called, but I know what you're talking
yes.
about.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, can I just say something? She's looking at me like, you are like so hot because I'm wearing my glasses with the diamond sparkly thing.
Yeah, those are hot, hot, sexy hot. Yeah,
thank you.
They really do something for you.
Thank
they
you
say
much.
Something without saying
I
something,
know, right?
That's the last guy thought,
very loudly.
Too.
Yeah,
very loudly they say
We've
something.
Got former Green Bay Packer guard Rich Moran coming up in just a little bit down at the bottom of the hour for the Burkles one block over. But first, we're going to talk about an amazing time you can have New Year's Eve, which is tomorrow?
Tomorrow already.
Okay.
Yeah, we are in the last days of December. And
can I introduce you
yes,
first?
Yes, please.
Heather,
sorry,
just
we just go right in.
Wow.
Whoa.
Till you've been
Whoa.
In radio. Heather Heil is here talking about the Children's Museum of Green Bay and an incredibly fun-sounding New Year's Eve event. Take it away.
Thank you. Yes.
You're welcome.
Representing the Children's Museum of Green Bay, and we are in the middle of a capital campaign right now. We're adding on to our museum, and so we are starting to do some partnerships with businesses with events coming up here, and this is kind of our kickoff one where we're partnering with Prohibition and Legacy First Realty, and we are having a New Year's Eve party for adults 21 and up. There will be alcohol at this event. Yeah, I know.
New Year's Eve.
New Year's at Prohibition, which is a premier cigar bar here in Green Bay, Wisconsin, owned by a former firefighter.
Absolutely. Tell everybody where it is.
Yeah, it's right downtown on Broadway
yep.
Street. Tickets are $50 a person, and that $50 ticket includes house cocktails for the evening, house tap beer for the evening, appetizers for the evening, champagne at New Year's Eve, pizza at midnight, and access to the VIP
for $50.
Event for $50. And then a portion of that will go to the Children's Museum of Green Bay. There'll be raffles and all the other things that you find at a fundraiser.
Cocktails for the evening.
Cocktails?
For
specific,
$50.
Yep, for $50.
Like, what's going to go to the Children's Museum? A dollar?
Yeah, no. I know, right?
That's the way Jim is.
So, cost effective that we're going to... But
I thought I'd say it for John. How the hell are you going to make any money here?
It is
to say.
A roaring 20s party as well. So we will, if you want to dress up in your best roaring 20s gear, we encourage that. There's an outfit award for the best dressed for that. You don't have to, but we would love to see that. And also, you'd come smoke a cigar or have some rum.
Well, you know, one of the things at your event at the Northland last month or whatever, I didn't have any gear for that era, but other people did. That looked pretty sharp.
Everybody dressed up.
We were
surprised because it was like an optional,
mm-hmm.
but John, you were in the minority, right?
I know, but I didn't have anything. Where do you get stuff like that?
Oh, it's pretty easy. I mean, you can just Google the 20s and boom, they'll send that to you.
Yeah. And you could just go and get a pair of black pants and a black button-down shirt, too, and call it a day.
Yeah, you're right.
And still, like, be kind of gangsta.
You're right.
Or it's the hat.
You have the fedora.
Right. Mm-hmm. A couple of those.
There, the feathers and the beads. And yeah, so it's optional for this party as well, but it's fun to dress up.
It is. It is. Well, that sounds like a great party. And I'm sure the music is going to...
Wait, look at this.
We have a band.
$50, mm-hmm. Okay? House cocktails for the evening, house tap beer for the evening, appetizers for the evening, New Year's champagne toast, pizza at midnight, mm-hmm. for $50.
$50, yeah.
But if you read the...
He's always got a butt.
Where's the fine print?
But the fine print, the house cocktails. Water.
Oh, wow.
I'm sure it'll be like, and I don't know what this
for the evening. It's celery.
Glenn and Tara, and they will bring it. It'll be a nice old fashioned or something of that nature.
I'm
it will be
kidding.
A nice house cocktail.
This is going to be a great party. This is, and the nicest people that are hosting this thing.
Yeah,
Glenn
and Tara are so amazing. Yeah. And the band Meet the Seavers will be there. So they're kind of in the vein of the 1920s. So you'll really get the vibe.
And Tara's been getting a little ink lately. I've been reading about her.
She is on fire. Right. That girl, and she is one of the nicest humans I have ever met.
Yeah.
So she owns Legacy Realty.
Right.
And she had said Prohibition's doing this party. And she said, well, what about if we have this party and we benefit someone in our community?
Yeah.
And Glenn said, absolutely. And she's like, Children's Museum of Green Bay. She's doing a show on HGTV.
That's what I saw.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. So she's she's owning it. Boss lady.
That's fantastic.
I love that.
I wish I could meet her, because it wasn't a good morning when I did meet her because of who I was with and what he just went through and what I went through with him. That was the morning. We went to the little coffee shop and he was all horked off because they didn't give him ketchup for his egg sandwich and could not get it, and went into the kitchen.
Who do you hang out with?
We got kicked out of the restaurant. This guy right next to me.
I don't know what you're
We got kicked
about.
Out of the restaurant basically because he went into the kitchen to find ketchup. So then we met her and her husband coming out.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'd like to meet them
under
better circumstances.
Come to this party, and it will be better circumstances.
I see another thing here, though. Yeah. New Year's bourbon flights for $25.
Yep.
100% of the proceeds go into the Children's Museum.
Yep, they've got some bourbon that was donated for our cause.
Nice.
So $25 right to the museum. They'll have a card game. I believe it's blackjack going on. All of those proceeds, raffles, the usual. Glenn actually is a artist on the side.
I didn't know that.
And created this beautiful print that we will be auctioning off at the event as well. It's a Mr. Rogers quote on a beautiful, beautiful painting. And his artwork is actually at the Legacy Green Bay, too. So go look at their socials. You can see all of these beautiful things.
By Mr. Rogers, you're not talking Aaron Rogers, are
no,
you?
God,
okay,
no.
Okay, good.
No.
Thank
yeah,
you.
But Children's he got Museum. What he deserved yesterday.
Yeah, ooh, you wouldn't raise a lot on that. Boy. Yeah, I know.
Okay, anyway, go Jets.
Yes, but $50 for amazing stuff.
I mean, really, yes. And it's all supporting the Children's Museum of Green Bay.
Fantastic.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
And how is your project going? I mean, people have sent money. You've been doing this campaign for a little while. How are things progressing?
They're going really, really well. The county just came forward with some ARPA funds, so that was amazing. We also had two members, like personally from the Kress family, step forward.
Nice.
So the George Kress Foundation has donated and committed to this project, as they always have with the museum. But two family members came forward with their personal money and said, for the month of December, we will match up to $50,000 of anyone. So you can still donate today on our website, and they're matching those funds.
Oh, good.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and it makes a huge difference. That money, I mean, if you give $5, that doubles today and helps us to build this museum for our community, truly our community. And that goes to bringing in workforce development, of bringing people to our area, serving our children and educating them. Show everyone that education is important to the community.
Have you found room for my Veterans Museum that I want to build next to you guys?
Yeah, we got room right next to us. You got to do that. I know we want to do gyms over by the Epic Event Center somewhere.
Don't worry
the music,
about that
but
either.
Yep.
He'll talk his way into getting something for nothing. Trust me. There's one thing I've learned about him. He will find a way to get something for nothing.
We love veterans at the museum.
I know
we actually do a visit with a veteran day at the museum during
it's
the
awesome.
Year where we bring the veterans in and children are able to come and talk with them, and they show their medals and talk about, in a positive manner.
So just wait till I have my museum next door to you guys.
Yes, it will be incredible. And I mean, think about it. The generation right now, there are not a lot of people that have served in their family, and they don't know what a veteran is. So it's really important to us to
Jim.
But
we're going to Heather and I are inviting you to join our little enclave of museums.
I think love museums, and we're going to have that museum pass where you're going to go to the car museum. You're going to be able to go to my music museum, Veterans Museum, Children's Museum, even the Neville Museum, and get these museum passes in Green Bay. What we need out there, though, I think Johnny's onto something with this Veterans Museum, and of course the Children's Museum expansion is going to be great. But we do need, you know, a pizza place, or we need something.
Oh, absolutely. Out there.
Yeah, something like, it would be great to get like a Sammy's or something.
Sammy's pizza out there would be incredible.
And just another branch.
Think about,
and they can keep what they've got.
Coffee shop. Yeah. Entrepreneur, coffee shop.
East side, west side. It's okay that we have two.
But
you
that
know?
Can be the hub of stuff like
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely.
Well, there's a lot. There's the wildlife sanctuary there. Oh, there's Bay Beach. There's their, the new all-inclusive
kind of
playground.
Yeah,
right.
The new NUR will be coming there. It's happening out there, and we need to feed these families.
We do. We need some retail out there. Mm-hmm. Some.
We're with Heather Heil, Green Bay Children's Museum.
And you're doing a great job out there. You were very busy over the holidays.
We're rocking. So, we're open today as well. So get that energy out for the kids. We actually, at the museum tomorrow, have a kids' New Year's Eve party. So at 11 o'clock, we have Super Mario Brothers are going to do a countdown at 11. At noon, the Green Bay Metro Fire Department comes with their ladder, and they drop a disco ball from...
Cool.
And we do a countdown. And then at 1 o'clock, Bluey is coming. So
I did not mean to chuckle. I just thought about something watching Nate Bart Getzy, the comedian.
Yeah.
Talk about he went to
We're kind of in love with that guy. We're going to see him in April.
Yeah, that's
exciting.
He's
tickets.
Coming back. Yeah.
Talking about going to his redneck family's Christmas. And he said, there's a big punch bowl. So I thought, I'm just going to hang out with the kids. I'm going to give them all punch. And somebody came and said, you know, that's wine. He goes, boy, I got a couple of 9-year-olds lit.
Oh, no. Woo!
Yeah, so that's why I just chuckled when you said about the kids' New Year's Eve party.
It is a kids' New Year's. Let them ring in the New Year's as well. So we have a kids' party and then the adults'
that's
party at
fantastic.
Nighttime. So,
what a great idea.
Let them burn their energy and be a part of those traditions. And then, you know, they'll think they ring in the New Year and put them to bed at a
or
time.
Or meet the Seavers.
Yeah, meet the Seavers. It is I believe it's a man and a woman. I don't know their affiliation with each other, if they're just in the band.
Or maybe they
could be married. Who knows? Yeah. I don't know. But they can play anything, and they're going to do the 1920s kind of swing vibe for us.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And that is some great, great music.
I love swing music and the really horns. And,
I agree.
Oh, yeah. Give me the horns.
Jazz.
It reminds me of like from the Great Gatsby type of music.
Totally. Yeah. Oh, we will. What is the Charleston? Is that what was it that they did? I don't know how
to
do
it.
But
I always want to do that thing where you can move your knees where it looks like your knees are going.
That's a 50s. That's
no, it's not.
Yes,
it's the
20s. No, it's not.
Oh, my God.
He's thinking of the twist.
No. Where you go like this, you stand up and you kind of do that thing with your knees.
Keep doing that.
That's 20s, yeah.
Yeah.
That was good. And the glasses, it's all working for you this morning.
Just gotta find him a flapper dress now.
Yes.
He'll be
little
all
fringe.
That little headband thing that I was wearing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
That for you.
We're all over
Thank
this.
You so much.
Stick around, Heather. Heather Heil is with us. Green Bay Children's Museum, what an amazing event they've got coming up at Prohibition tomorrow night. Back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, welcome back. Mind on the Mayor. We got former Green Bay Packer Rich Moran coming up at the bottom of the hour. We're with Heather Heil talking about the Green Bay Children's Museum, an amazing event they've got going on once again tomorrow night. You can still get tickets, right, Heather?
Tickets are still available. You can find them on our Facebook page. You can find them on Prohibition's Facebook page and website. It is their event that we're benefiting from.
Right.
So adults 21 and over for the Prohibition, and then for the kiddos, come to the museum for our countdowns with them.
Phenomenal. But again, this is an amazing thing at Prohibition Spirits and Cigars
next
week. Yeah, I got to be over 21, but tickets $50 include house cocktails for the night, house beer for the night, appetizers for the night, champagne toast, pizza at midnight, enjoy live music, bourbon flights for $25. 100% of the proceeds going to the Children's Museum. Music by Meet the Seavers. That sounds just phenomenal.
It's
going
to be fine. You can dress up if you want to. And of course, I do want to mention it is a cigar bar, so there will be cigar smoking going on there.
And
so
it smells phenomenal.
Be aware
say what
of
you
that.
Want. It smells phenomenal when you walk in because I love the smell of tobacco
I think
smoke.
It's wonderful. But if just be aware of it. It's a cigar bar. So,
and we want to talk about something else coming up here. Todd, do you know more about this from Lisa Hale? Northeast Wisconsin Recreation Center, known for its cross-country skiing trails, biathlon trails, and training facilities, will host the 2025 World Snowshoe Championships in late February and March. Yeah.
At Aaron's.
Aaron's Nordic Center.
You know, that he built that whole place down there.
Yes.
I mean, and last year, the weather wasn't that as good to him, or maybe it was 2 years ago when they opened. But yeah, that so get out the tennis rackets, tie them to your shoe. No, who doesn't Nate Bart talk about that too?
Want to see a picture of me with snowshoes when I was a little kid?
So what do you do with a snowshoe competition? Like, what do you do? Trek
racing.
Through the snow? You race?
Oh, yeah.
But this isn't. But you don't qualify for that.
No, I would.
No, why
wouldn't I qualify for that?
That's hard.
No, that's not what this is. I think this is,
like,
they're bringing
a whole
in.
This
level.
Is me with my snowshoes.
They're bringing
years
in the
ago.
Pros.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, thank you.
That is fantastic. I love that photo. So you should post that.
They're hosting the 2025 World Snowshoe Championships.
I grew up on snowshoes.
But I don't, you're not there at all. You can go as a spectator, but they are, you're not.
I could train.
Do they have like a mile? Is it two? What is the?
They have an age thing?
All right.
I could win my age bracket.
There's a prize, $16,000 purse.
Whoa.
Oh, I'm all over this.
That purse will go with those glasses.
Yeah, Todd. Nice.
That purse.
Really?
Yeah, that's funny. I love that. Somebody could find that a purse like that at the dollar store where you got those glasses.
It's good to go back to 1972, yeah. Todd.
No, we're going to get somebody on to talk about this. But this
is
coming up in February.
That's local. That's amazing.
It is. And Aaron's is like the best, right? They do so many.
It's a great place. You better believe it. No question.
All right. So Children's Museum, a lot of things going on with you. You're expanding this year.
We are. We have our, so we're taking the building that's next to us down and building there. So we've started already.
All right.
IEI is our contractor, and they've started bring that building down.
Nice.
There you go.
Yeah. Shovel will be in the ground before we know it.
Fantastic.
Right. And that's expanding. You're not moving.
Correct.
You're expanding.
We're
a great location by Bay Beach. You've done a fundraising campaign. This just adds to it.
Correct.
People can give anytime, though.
They can. So we are at 62% of our goal,
but
we need your help to get us past the finish line. We need everyone in the community to rally around this and show that this educational facility is so important to our community. So you can do that through our website. There is a matching donor right now, so it's doubling your money. And if you don't know anything about a children's museum and you want to come out and take a tour, I would love to personally tour you and share with you more about what our facility is doing in the community. We partner with the Bay Beach Wildlife Sanctuary with our programming. It's not just in our four walls. We're out there doing community outreach. Over 17,000 children a year are touched by our museum, by us going to them and helping them through the Big Brothers Big Sisters Boys and Girls Club. We're all collaborating.
And you do special events.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll talk a little bit about besides birthday parties, but you know, we've had a couple events. It's just the one in Indianapolis is like, right?
That's, the Mecca. Yeah. That's like,
I mean, that's
goals there.
That is like their Lambeau Field almost. That's the attraction. I mean, it's just a great children's museum, but you too have some great birthday parties and events that you host.
Right. We sure do. Field trips that they can come in. We can do private rentals. A lot of times families will do, we can do baby showers. We can do,
name it.
And we can help you with those accommodations. Corporate outings where they'll do, people aren't allowed to do, the holiday party. So they'll just rent in March on a Saturday and do a private rental and have all of their employees with their kids come. And what a great gift to give to your employees and show your appreciation for what they're doing for you.
That's great. You know, it's amazing. Like when I first moved to Green Bay in the mid 80s, you had like the Boys and Girls Club on Oneida Street
and
they'd have a pool table, a ping pong table. And that's about it. Maybe a basketball court. Now you go to those things and it's like, it's all computers and it's technical training and yada, yada, and internet and podcasts and internet's nothing, but I mean, but the podcast things they do are amazing. And for you guys, what you do, there's never been a better time to grow up in Northeast Wisconsin than right now if you're a kid.
And I just think you talk about, it's a place to burn off some energy, but that's so educational what you have.
That's what I mean.
100%.
Yeah.
So everything
just
right now.
Send the kids to the place and let them,
I can't think of what the word is, but it's STEM-based. Everything is STEM-based.
Science,
technology, engineering, art, and math. Every decision that we make at that museum, that is infused into what we're doing and bringing that opportunity to your child. And again, just really fostering their imaginations.
Yeah.
We don't do that as a society. We are just very much, okay, no, we need to do this. But let those imaginations soar and let them learn while doing it.
Yeah. I think it's a wonderful thing you guys are doing
on there. And I just hope that, you know, the community gets, and you kind of think, well, why wouldn't you get behind the children? There's a lot of good organizations. Mm-hmm. You and I have both worked for a lot of nonprofits. I work for one now, and they're all good. But this thing, the long game on yours is terrific because you're getting these kids young, and we talk about, you know, you can judge a community by its, you know, third, fourth grade reading test scores.
And, really low right now.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, really? They're really low right now. I will talk about it. I know we're given big eyes right now, but it's a crisis in across the country where reading scores are very, very low right now. And we're learning more and more about brain development with children and where they're actually picking things. And it's 1 to 5, everyone, 1 to 5. And it is a problem in our community. How do we stop that? We support Children's Museum. We support education. We bring them those opportunities.
That's awesome.
It is.
That's so cool.
It is. And that's all part of it. And I've got a daughter who works in that and talks about children's museums, just activity, and just that 0 to 5 is really, that's
really
absolutely
where
critical
that
brain development.
Right.
It does,
but
focus on that. You guys do that very, very well.
Thank you.
All right, Heather Heil, Green Bay Children's Museum, great event taking place at Prohibition tomorrow night. $50 for an incredible New Year's Eve night. It's unbelievable. Green Bay Children's Museum. Always great having you on.
Thank you.
Love having you stop by.
Happy New Year. You can come give Johnny a kiss at midnight if you come over.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there we go.
That's right.
It's a deal.
It is free alcohol. All
right. Have a flight of bourbon beforehand. Yeah. Rich Moran, former Green Bay Packer guard, coming up next. Stay with us.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Hey, welcome back, Vinyl the Mayor. 7.9 FM WGBW in Green Bay, 98.3 WISS in Oshkosh, and 96.5 FM in Appleton. And now, ladies and gentlemen, time for the Burkles One Block Over Spotlight with former Green Bay Packer offensive guard, Rich Moran. Rich, good morning to you.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Well,
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Rich. What did you think of that game last night against the team that you despise more than any team you've ever despised?
I mean, all I know is this time of year we were getting the hauler from Forrest Gregg. I don't want to see any UPS boxes out front. So,
Larry McCarron told me one time, I think it was Bart Starr's last year or wasn't last year, for the last practice, before the last game, he had an assistant coach or somebody go out and check guys' cars to make sure they weren't packed and ready to leave when it was over. True story. Go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, I don't know how much depth you wanted, but I knew you were going to have me on here. So I kind of did a breakdown of all the plays and what went on. I don't know if you want my little overview.
Give us a little oversight, and then we'll break it down. Go ahead. What did you think from start to finish?
Well, it really is a tale of two stories. When you really look back at what's gone on with football in college, everyone's putting these quarterbacks back in shotgun, and they're offset in the back. Okay?
Yep.
So I don't know if you're aware of that.
Sure.
So when you really look at the Vikings, a lot of their big plays, the quarterback was under center, and he fakes the run. This is like the traditional Wisconsin Badgers.
Yeah.
Used to do under center play action. As a matter of fact, they brought that coach from Utah State in after 1 year, and then Alvarez fired him.
Anderson.
He went to shotgun. You're right, he went to shotgun. So now we have our quarterback from Utah State. You know, and when they had five possessions. So what I did is I kind of went down and they had about 27 plays the first half. And what happens when you go under center to the viewers is it balances the defense. They don't see the ball being snapped. The quarterback's hiding it as he's faking the run. And everybody has to come up, okay? And what's interesting is the NFL, you're seeing the Detroit Lions, the Vikings doing that. And it's a significant contrast to putting them in shotgun. So if you went back and you looked at when LaFleur was the first four games with the Packers, there was a big Ron and I did the Rich and Ron show, and we talked about how it was going to be a challenge to have Rodgers, who likes to be in shotgun, that's not a second runner, not want to go under center. And we won our first three games, and the last game, and he was under center. He had huge plays from under center play action, kind of like what the Vikings are doing, okay? Whereas, and we started off doing that. And then the last game, week four, his first year, we lost big to the Eagles, but we threw for 400 yards. Okay, so there was a total of about 27 plays in the first half. We only had 22, of the 22 plays, of those were in gun, and about five of them, Love was only under center. So about 18% of our plays, Love was under center. And what that does is it just creates a different balancing of the defense, whereas the Vikings were under center, always running the ball, doing play action. And that's something I thought I saw we went away from in the past, compared to the past, where Love was under center more and more handing off and really sticking to the play-action pass. But of those five possessions, you know, the first one we had five plays. We had the fumble. The second possession, we were three, and the left tackle got smoked on the third play. The third possession, we had seven plays. And so that's 15 plays in the first quarter and only a total of 27 plays the whole first half. In the fourth series, I think we didn't get anything happen. Then we had a long seven play drive, and we went fourth down. And we didn't go for the field goal for the points.
What did you think of that, Rich?
It's easy to be the quarterback the next day, right?
No question. But you, at the time, what
I
did
just
you think
you need points.
Yeah.
Okay. And
on the road, especially.
Yes, and it was 10-6, and the announcer said that too. And I think that guy Brady's pretty knowledgeable, right?
Yeah.
So he said the same thing. So obviously, I just plagiarized him and said I think he should have went for it.
But even without that, I've always thought on the road you get points however you can get points. That's not the time to get cute.
Anything to keep those fans out.
Yeah.
But I do think that hurt because it was a long drive. It was a 7-8 play drive, and you came out with nothing.
Right.
So I think that didn't help. There's other things, but that was the big thing that I thought is when you look at the time of possession they had the first half, there was a significant difference. It was 17 to 12. Mm-hmm. What was that in my notes?
No, that's right.
Mm-hmm. So you have a deal of it's slowing the game down by running quarterback under center, and there's a big difference for the viewers in a play action like Wisconsin Badgers used to run with Anderson, where the quarterback's in shotgun and he's reading and he might run like LeVar Jackson does.
Right.
I mean, Lamar in Baltimore.
Right.
Versus when he's under center and you run a fake dive and everybody sucks up and then he drops back at 8-9 yards and then he goes downtown. You see, and that's what they were doing, and then they're controlling the clock more. So I think if you do a self-scouting, I would bet LaFleur just does a self-scouting, looks at the time possession, because you know what? We need to be more physical. We have blocking tight ends, too, and we probably should have changed more under center and done more what Minnesota does and try to have more time of possession and more plays. I don't know if that makes sense. But
yeah, and Rich, if I could just say one, I'll tell you a play that stands out with me that was a big determining factor, I thought, in the game. On the very last possession for Minnesota, they did exact that, did play action and hit their running back coming out of the backfield for the first down in the first play when the Packers were trying to stuff that run and they were under center and they did that exact same type thing. So I know what you mean.
It's just for guys have played in the past, it's neat to see physical football coming back. And it happens to be in the black and blue division, right?
Yeah.
And that's Detroit running the ball. And what's interesting is seeing that quarterback, O'Connell, okay, who came from San Diego State. And San Diego State's doing the same garbage offense the rest of the country, where they're in spread. The guy came from Colorado, and they do this zone read. And it puts a lot of pressure on the quarterback because they have to have wheels. They have to read versus you fake the play action and or it's a regular run zone. And what people don't realize, too, is when you have more tight ends and the quarterbacks – Bob Bostead used to be the famous Wisconsin line coach in Indiana. He called putting the running back at the home base position. That's directly behind the quarterback, not offset, and the quarterback's under center. You create all these more gaps for the back, and it's harder for the defense. And that's what they're doing. They're making the gaps, and then you wonder, why is this quarterback so much better now, okay, than when he was before?
Right.
And I think it kind of is comparable to what Andy Reid did with Alex Smith at Kansas City.
Right.
Put him under center, and he went to the zone read when he had a guy with wheels. So, you know, it's hard to – I mean, if you're 1-for-3 in baseball, well, you're an all-star.
Right.
So I think if we play him again, I mean, it's hard to beat someone 3 times, right, John?
Right, absolutely.
So the inventory, I think that it's called a self-scout. Coaches go in there, they self-scout, they look at, and then LaFleur does. He didn't get where he got without doing homework. He'll probably change it up a little bit more and be more physical, probably have a little bit more play action, and hopefully we get another shot.
Rich, I still think the best play in football, and the Vikings used it so well yesterday, and the Packers had been using it, was play action and then going to your tight ends. I just think that is money, don't you?
Well, what do you think? What's the highest percentage when the tight end's right down the middle of the field versus when he's over someone that's over on the side? It's a farther ball.
Yeah.
Right? So that's why. And of course it is. And because then if the linebackers, awesome. So we used to run this thing, you might remember it, called 9-on-7. It's called inside drill.
Okay.
Okay, and you have to practice inside drill when people run the ball, when they run the Vikings in Detroit. But all of these offenses with this spread, you don't even practice the inside drill because it's. Do you understand the difference of why people run the outside zone versus the inside zone on RPO? Do you understand why, John?
Well, for one thing, quarterback doesn't get hit as much.
No, the big thing is they don't want the linemen downfield. And the linemen don't know if the quarterback on a true RPO run pass option, if he handed it off or if he threw the ball.
Gotcha.
Okay. And so what happens is when you go lateral, the linebackers don't use the attack as fast. And so if you go inside zone, a linebacker might attack, and then the lineman comes off what's called a combination block, 2-on-1, and they'll go at the backer, and then there's a penalty for downfield. So that's why a lot of times everyone runs the outside zone, because they don't want an offensive lineman downfield, and it's a penalty. And that happened against the Chiefs early in the year when one of the Kelsey brothers were announcing a game. You had one of the linemen downfield on that.
So I had no idea about that. That's a great insight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's something that one of them is a true bubble screen where they don't block the end man, John. And the other one is called an RPO where they lock the left tackle on the DN and they block him, and then they what's called a conflict. They read the second level backer, the will backer.
Well, I do know one thing. When Colin Kaepernick was going insane against the Packers in that playoff game, and then the next year when I was watching teams against San Francisco, they would take that outside linebacker and they'd tell him he is a running back, gore him every time he comes downfield that way. And
well, it's interesting you brought that up. Do you want to know how we learned how to defend that?
How?
Okay, well, I've got an old friend of mine who used to be there. He's an offensive line coach. Do you know who that is?
Jerry Wampler?
No, Camp.
Yeah,
Camp.
I know.
Okay, Wampler is Sparky. Okay, so
Campy. I wasn't going there, but that's what I was laughing at.
Campy.
I told you a story on that one, why his name is Sparky. Accidentally took some spark plugs.
You know what he said they did? Oh, yeah. This is what the NFL is. They're not humble. They'll learn from anyone. The whole staff, Campen said, went down to Texas A&M for a week. And they learned how they defended that zone read RPO.
Okay.
Okay, and then guess what? After that week, the whole Texas A&M staff was invited up, and they spent a week at Green Bay just going in and out of the
– wow.
And learning from us. So, you know, it's interesting. That's how a lot of the defenses are can defend this RPO zone read now because – they have defense for it. They just do. Just like when you play Baltimore, what they usually do in the playoffs, you'll see them, they only rush three and they drop eight. That's why I think they got that big back. So, you know, you game plan every deal, but it's just interesting because you need time of possession. You need to have the ball more, and you want to keep them off the field. But they just, I mean, we only had 27 plays the first half.
Right. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, so it just started to become, and that's because it's ball control, the run of the ball. Mm-hmm. So I do think it could be a good game to lose if you're going to lose one. They're still in the playoffs, and I think they'll self-correct on that. And I think they'll look at the time of possession and they'll say, hey, we did come back at the end, and just it's tough to play there, and unfortunately, and the Vikings usually crap out in the playoffs, right?
We're with Rich Moran, former Green Bay Packer offensive guard. It is Football Friday, courtesy of Burkle's One Block Over. 10:07, Tony Cannondale running Green Bay. Rich, can you stick around during our break and bring you back?
Yeah, sure, no problem.
Outstanding. Rich Moran coming your way live from San Diego.
Actually, I'm in Pleasanton. I'm visiting my mom and my sister for Christmas holidays.
Phenomenal. Back with more with Rich Moran right after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here, 97.9 FM, WGBW Green Bay, 98.3 WISS in Oshkosh, 96.5 FM WS in Appleton. Former Green Bay Packer offensive guard Rich Moran joining us, breaking down. Rich, this is phenomenal insight you're bringing us here. I mean, it really is. You're pulling back the curtain and telling us why things are working or not working. This is really cool. I appreciate it.
Well, people kind of like it. In Wisconsin, people love football, right?
So yeah.
When you start, I'll give you a little bit more you might like. Have you ever heard of what's called 21 personnel?
No.
Okay, so that's two running backs and one tight end.
Okay.
And traditionally, they're under center. What do you think 11 personnel is?
I do not know that either.
Well, two running backs and one tight end. 11 is one running back and one tight end.
Yeah, okay.
20 personnel is two running backs and no tight ends.
Okay.
12 personnel is one running back and two tight ends. And 10, which is what everybody's going to, is one running back, quarterbacks and shotgun, and four receivers. There's no tight ends.
Right.
So you can, when you look at right away when they're going up the line of scrimmage, fans and people can understand, okay, what type of offense are they in, or what type of play are you projecting? In a 21, two running backs, one tight end, you're usually going to get it balances. You don't know. Am I going to get a run play, or am I going to get a pass play that's 5 yard drop or 8 yards? So it makes, there's a lot more ambiguity. Okay. But when you're in 10 personnel, one running back, no tight end, spread, that's the spread. The defense can project a lot easier what the options are. And so that's what I'm talking about further is when he's under center, is the personnel groupings help you project what the play is. And that does matter, John, the down and distance, how far you're behind, and what's going on in the game. And to summarize, what we ended up with is, and when he was under center, we only had about 12% of our plays he was under center. And in the first half, it was about 18%. And then most of our personnel groupings were 11, which is a tight end, and the quarterback was in his shotgun instead of being under center. So that kind of helps you a little more when you're looking at the game. It's kind of fun to go, oh, wow, look, well, Vikings are in 21. Or they're in 12, and it creates more gaps.
Interesting.
So it's the last additive I'll give on to.
Rich, let me ask this. In general, in watching this Packer offensive line, I mean, give it to us straight. What do you think of this offensive line?
I think they're a lot. This is the best year. I've been a big fan of Myers for a long time. Everyone else is kind of throwing him on the bus, but the kid is, I think,
Josh
really
Myers.
Good. So they're, yeah, I think they're. Last year, when you watch the 49er game that they lost a couple years ago, they had a basic TE twist, and Runyon and the right tackle were struggling when everybody knows you got to throw. Okay,
right.
I'm not saying anything, but that's what we had to play under at the end. Is at the end of the second quarter going in, are we losing? Or at the beginning of the fourth quarter, are we down by two touchdowns? That's a lineman's nightmare. Okay, but you also have situations, John, where how do you really know if you got a good offensive line? Well, if you've got 70 plays, 35 are pass, 35 are run. And of the 35 that are run, half of them are play action where the quarterback is at 5 yards and it's a quick ball like the 49ers. And then of those half, usually you slide one way. So the guard gets help, it's 2-on-1. And the other linemen are truly 1-on-1. So you might have 10 to 15 plays where a player is truly 1-on-1. And everybody knows they're throwing. Can that guy match up 75 to 80% of the time? That's when you really were the guys that get paid that are really good in those situations. Is you can help the other linemen. You can send the center one way. So at the end of the game, there the tackles were having some struggles, okay? But everyone knew they were throwing, and they got behind. And there was some matchup issues at the tackles. But overall, I thought the Lions played pretty good. The week before, they played good. So, I mean, they didn't get crushed. Okay, I just think that they need to run the ball a little bit more, maybe go a little bit more 12 personnel, where there's two tight ends and just running the ball and hammering and getting. You know, Jacobs, I think, had 60 yards the first half, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, if he would have kept rolling, you know, we had to kind of get off him. But so I like the O-line. I think they're doing better, those tackles. I mean, you get rid of Bakhtiari and, you know, so
right.
They've done a good job there. It's just
a tough game. But Rich, what do you think? I mean, here we're two games left?
One
game left, and then the playoffs. You know, this is really detailed. This is
State
great information. But yeah.
Well, it's what it is, though, is people go, hey, well, you know, I'm trying to make a little bit more crayon for the fans to understand, because the fans care out there, right? So
yeah.
You go, okay, well, what did we do different? Well, what's happening is Detroit and the Vikings have about the same offense, drop back quarterback, and they're running the ball, and they're using tight ends, and they're going under center more. They're going shotgun, and most of the time you know, because those aren't second runners. Those quarterbacks are not going to run the ball very much. Right, they're more
right.
drop back.
Not the Kaepernick types.
So they know it's a throw. Okay, so they just do. So I just think that they're a more physical offense. And then I'm going to summarize this. Let's look at the national championship last year. You had a spread offense against who? Michigan. Michigan put the quarterback under center. In Detroit, didn't they draft that quarterback in the first round?
Minnesota.
Right, and the kid got hurt.
Right.
But here you are, you have a sixth-year senior who's down in Atlanta, he played last night, with this great offensive line in the history of college football, Washington's, and they lose to Michigan because they're bringing all these complicated pressures. Okay, and what did Harbaugh do? A first-round draft pick quarterback from the team we don't like, and his dad's a coach, and what do? They're running the ball, going tight ends.
Pounded it.
And just, you know, so it's coming back, and I think...
Rich, we're going to run out of time, and I hate to say it because this has been fantastic. You're awesome.
Oh, yeah.
No, you guys are awesome. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Same to you, Rich.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.